The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa. In the headlines, Food and Drugs Authority denies witch hunting allegations against targeted pharmaceutical companies. Suspected murder of Dom Constituency NPP Vice Chairman remanded in police custody. More fallout from Judgment Debt Commission over controversial sale of GNPC drillship as former Energy Minister and his deputy appear before Commission. Speaker of Parliament frowns on use of placards and partisan accolades during proceedings. 25 students from Walwale Senior High School arrested for vandalism. And France agrees to send 800 more troops to conflict-torn Central African Republic. First, a summary by Rosemary Gazy.
The head of post-surveillance unit of the Food and Drugs Authority, Isaka Collins, has denied allegations that it is witch-hunting Tobinco Pharmaceutical so as to give their competitors undue advantage. Speaking in an interview with Radio Ghana, Mr. Isaka Collins said the FDA is doing nothing untoward, but rather adhering to the laws in order not to endanger the lives of Ghanaians. A man suspected to have murdered the NPP vice chairman for Dom constituency in 2009, Patrick Opokuba, has been remanded into custody. The man, Alhaji Mate Teikoti, alias Commando, is alleged to have said that he is behind the killing of the deceased. And France has agreed to send 800 extra troops to the Central African Republic to help the worsening situation there. Secretary General Jan Eliasson has called for the Security Council to act quickly, saying the country is descending into complete chaos.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
The news in detail. The head of post-surveillance unit of the Foods and Drugs Authority, Isaka Collins, has denied allegations that it is witch-hunting Tobinco Pharmaceutical so as to give their competitors undue advantage. In an interview with Radio Ghana, Mr. Collins said per the laws of the country, all products entering the country must be tested before they are administered to the public. He said the FDA will continue to bring to book any group or individual who flouts the rules governing the importation and sale of drugs. Mr. Collins added that the FDA is doing nothing untoward, but rather adhering to the laws in order not to endanger the lives of Ghanaians.
First of all, what Ghanaians need to know that pharmaceutical products are not ordinary articles of commerce. They are not like a t-shirt that you buy and if it doesn't fit you, just go back to the market and then change. And he's talking about testing, FDA has to test. The first point is that, could you imagine if the Food and Drugs Authority said people should import products onto the Ghanaian market without getting it duly registered and we'll just go and pick the product and then analyze them in the laboratory? Do you know what would have happened in this country? In the first place, laboratory analysis is one aspect which actually guarantees products whether they have actually met the various specific standards that you said you are using to manufacture the product. But laboratory analysis actually cannot guarantee the quality of the product.
How?
That is why we have what we call good manufacturing practice, GMP. Good manufacturing practices involve documentation, your in-process checks, your various laboratory analysis that you've done, the various standards that you use in terms of manufacturing the product. All these things will come together for you to have a dossier. And then the laws of Ghana says that products are supposed to be duly registered before they will be offered for sale to the consumer. Now, what we are talking here is the fact that Tobinco Pharmaceuticals Limited have imported products onto the Ghanaian market which are not duly registered. We do what is called batch-to-batch analysis. We sample products, we first of all put the product under detention, sample it, analyze it in the laboratory before we declare. These are products that if we joke with, we are going to endanger the life of Ghanaians.
You heard the head of post-surveillance unit of FDA, Isaka Collins. Meanwhile, Tobinco Pharmaceutical Company Limited has dissociated itself from important fake anti-malaria drugs. At a news conference in Accra, the company said the recent accusation arose because of a delayed action on its part with regards to registration and had nothing to do with the integrity of the company's products. Abraham Donko and Salome Edumenta were there.
flanked by some members of management, a senior communications officer of Tobinco Pharmaceuticals, Dr. Peter Tobing, explained that its CEO and that of Bliss GVS were made to sign some letters alluding to the importation of fake drugs and the duress while in BNI custody. He further stated that the Food and Drugs Authority has not produced any scientific proof that Tobinco's drugs are fake. Dr. Tobin emphasized that the FDA's assertion is based on non-registration of the drugs in contention, that is G-Sonate Plus, a situation he partially attributed to a delay on the part of the regulator.
What have led to the recent state of affairs about registration of products for the Food and Drug Authority is a misjudgment and delay action on our part. In other words, we are admitted there is a delay action on our part. And has nothing to do with the integrity of our products. A penalty imposed by the authority in connection with the registration issues has been duly paid. That the issues have been as follows. The first issue is, there was an apology letter. The letter came about through the insistence of Dr. Simi Dokuning that the CEOs of Sobinco and Bliss GVS Pharma should write a letter apologizing for bringing in medicinal products without registration. While they were on their way to prepare the letter and seek legal advice, they were abducted and taken to the BNI office. Dr. Simi Dokuning sent his officers to insist that an additional statement, quote, "I sincerely apologize for importing fake dismissed drugs and malaria into the country," unquote, must be included.
Dr. Tobin said 18 of its drugs sent to the FDA for testing since 2008 have not yet been tested. He said the blacklisting and banning of the company's products and other imports are illegal. This is because it is only the health minister that has the power to take such action based on executive instruments. The company is therefore appealing to President Mahama to intervene in the impasse in order not to deny millions of Ghanaians quality and affordable drugs.
Ibrahim Donkwa and Salome Dumensa filed that report. A man suspected to have murdered the NPP vice chairman for Dom constituency in 2009 has been remanded into custody. The former vice chairman, Patrick Opokuba, was in June 2009 attacked at his residence and murdered by an unknown assailant. 4 years on, the accused person, Alhaji Matete Kwoti, alias Commando, was heard telling some people that he was behind the killing of the deceased. He is also alleged to have boasted that he is a contract killer who could perform any execution so anyone could contract him for that purpose. This conversation was allegedly recorded by a witness who informed the police. Alhaji Kwoti was later arrested on the 17th of this month at Nima. During his arrest, he had one wrapper of dried leaves suspected to be Indian hemp in his pocket, which he claimed ownership of. Alhaji Kwoti pleaded not guilty to possessing narcotic drugs and murder. The court declined granting him bail after an application by his lawyer, Cha Josiah. He is to reappear in court on the 4th of next month. Ghana's former acting High Commissioner to London, Chris Kudo, is alleged to have received the $3.5 million in banker's draft from the sale of TNPC's drill ship in 2001. The former Deputy Minister of Energy in Kufuor's administration, Katie Hammond, giving evidence on the sale of the drill ship and the whereabouts of the $3.5 million, said he was instructed to give the money to Mr. Kudo, but could not tell who instructed him. He appeared before the Judgment Debt Commission yesterday with Albert Kandapa, who was the energy minister at the time the ship was sold. We bring you Ernest Obingenim's report.
The two former ministers, Albert Kandapa and K.T. Hammond, were invited because they were involved in the sale of the drill ship. Mr. Kandapa, who appeared before the commission, first gave a brief background on how Ghana's search for oil started. He said GMPC engaged in a lot of activities to generate income for the oil exploration. Between 1996 and 1997, GMPC entered into a transaction to manage oil price with Societe Generale, but the transaction went bad. GMPC therefore became indebted to Societe Generale. He said when Kufuor's administration took office, GMPC was in a mess and Owen. In May 2001, JMPC's Implementation Committee, which assessed its activities, said, apart from the Discoverer 511 that was making profit, the rest were not. Cabinet therefore advised that JMPC's marine assets should be disposed of. Mr. Kandapa said in June 2001, judgment was given to Societe Generale and the ship was arrested on the seas of Oman. K.T. Hammond was therefore asked by government to negotiate with Societe Generale, which he did, and managed to bring down the debt to $19.5 million.
K.T. Hammond was also to say that GMPC had actually mortgaged the drillship in favor of Societe Generale on 5th of June 1998 in a total sum of $32 million. And said that Societe Generale had commenced legal proceedings in Oman against GMPC and in fact had procured the arrest of the vessel by an Omani court. By the time Honorable K.T. Hammond arrived in Paris, Societe Generale were quite happy to sell the ship and keep whatever proceeds they got from that. And they had declared their intention to pursue GMPC for any purpose. Indeed, they had already put in place plans for the sale of a drill ship and had talked to Stavanger Drilling PLC and also Frontier Drilling PLC, both of Norway. My lord, Societe Generale did not, at this stage, need government permission to sell the drill ship. It was effectively easier to sell, even if they had to go through a
program. Asked whether the ship was working, Mr. Kandapa said the ship was built to work in India but could not open letters of credit.
The ship was supposed to do some work in India and there was a contract. I know that they were supposed to open a letter of credit in favor of GMPC before the ship started work. When the ship got to India, the contractors did not open the letter of credit, and it was not thought reasonable for the ship to work while arrangements for payment had not been made. So it was not Oman to be kept there while a new contractor was found to utilize the services of the ship.
Given his evidence before the commission, K.T. Hammond said the sale of the ship was done in a transparent manner. He tendered in evidence a lot of documents to buttress his point that the sale was transparent. He said when Kofor's administration took over, GMPC was in distress and also presented documents enumerating its indebtedness to some companies. Mr. Hammond confirmed what Mr. Kandapa said earlier, that he was asked by the government to go to Paris and London to negotiate to bring the debt down. At this point, the Commissioner, Justice Yawapo, asked him whether he took over the functions of the board, which was not in place at that time. He answered that in the absence of a board, shareholders can take over its functions.
That was Ernest Obinganin's report. Workers of Graphics Communications Group Limited have raised the red flag over conditions of service. According to the workers, several negotiated agreements have been forwarded to the management of the company, but nothing has been done about their requests. At a demonstration at the company's head office in Accra, the aggrieved workers gave management a 7-day ultimatum to address their concerns, or in their words, they will beat the drum management understands. Rita Mpabing-Tete was at the scene.
Working conditions of service and salaries continue to be regular complaints among workers. Workers at the Graphic Communications Group Limited have taken their turn in the quest to fight for improved working conditions for junior staff. On arrival at the head office in Accra, aggrieved workers were dressed in red and chanting war songs to send warning signals to management. The chairman of the Industrial Commercial Workers Union, Henry Addo, was particularly unhappy about the attitude of management to address their concerns.
Well, it is all about a better condition of service for we, the unionized workers of Graphic Communications Group Limited. You can't just imagine where the top man of the place takes not less than 13,500 and the least person taking 400. Just imagine. It means our salary, other conditions, that will take care of our future, our tomorrow. We'll send a proposal, call it somewhere July, August, thereabout. We noticed that the salaries that we receive in government offices is a wide disparity, and we think that disparity needs to be addressed. You can just imagine where the top man of the place takes up less than 13,500, and the least person taking 400. Just imagine the disparity. In order to bridge the gap, we need to do restructuring of our salaries, which we propose. They said no, that they can only give us 30%. And they are saying that no, they cannot restructure our salaries. Despite they have identified their salaries, they cannot.
If you agree with me, sometimes they look at the nature of your job, then based on that, you'll be paid. Have you considered that as well?
Nature of what job? If management are in office, and a lot of people are owing in subscription, in home delivery, and you are not collecting money, what job are they?
Enquiries gathered from members of the union indicate that their actions follow a memo received from the office of the managing director of the company, stating management has exhausted its mandate and is unable to request a renewal from the board of directors because paying levels beyond the current rate proposed by management cannot be sustained and will put the financial viability of the company in jeopardy. After the demonstration, a resolution was presented to management and was received by the Director of Technical Services, Kwesi Kesi, on behalf of management.
And I've received the resolution from our local union. I want to believe that it is about the negotiations that is going on. And management has already issued a statement on the state of affairs, which the union is aware of. And I want to believe that that is why this resolution is coming to us. So having received it, I'll just send it back to the managing director, and then maybe management, after looking at it, will respond to it.
Some of the workers spoke to Radio Ghana.
You advise us. How do you advise yourself?
When you get to the radio,
you know the thing. From advice to the press. Mr. said management in Ibo Hwana. From advice to the press. Now, the plan is what for union follow. You go for 40%. Why 40%? Because we paid all our debt. You've settled everybody. You laid people off with no reason. After laying 33 people off. No, I can't employ more than 33.
I mean,
what was the change in it?
This
year alone, and has
it
started for long?
Yes, it has been long. But all this while, we are not having any documents to back our demand. But now we've got to lay hands on the attire. That's why we are pushing for this.
Peter Paddington for that report. The Speaker of Parliament, Edwedo Ajao, has entreated members of Parliament to desist from showing placards and calling out partisan accolades during proceedings in the House. He said it is unparliamentary for members to display placards in the House accusing each other of acts of alleged wrongdoing. He said though MPs are empowered by the Constitution and the standing orders to speak their mind and express their views freely on any matter without fear or favour, that right to freedom of speech during proceedings in the House should not be abused. Mr. Doajao said this in a speech read for him by the first Deputy Speaker, Ebo Barton Odro, at the second day of the post-budget workshop for members of Parliament. There is a report by our parliamentary correspondents, Dominic Mologi and Augustus Akwe.
The Speaker of Parliament, Edward Doajaho's comment on the use of placards follows the persistent use of placards and the making of uncomplimentary comments on the floor of the House over the years. He said under the parliamentary rules, a member's conduct cannot be attacked except by a substantive motion. He reminded the MPs that they are leaders and role models in the society, and therefore their conduct in the House may send wrong signals to their followers. The Speaker announced that the House is in talks with the United Kingdom House of Commons for the setting up of an office of scrutiny to help members in analysing the annual budget and other transactions that come before the House.
Our Parliament is certainly not equipped adequately to independently assess budgetary data and lack the backup and support of professional economists and budget researchers which are readily available to the executive. This makes effective scrutiny of the budget and other policy measures a daunting task. To address this institutional deficit, the office of the Speaker of Parliament is liaising with the United Kingdom House of Commons to establish an office of scrutiny. The new office would be engaged in providing services for the conduct of independent expert analysis of policy measures, including the scrutiny of international rule agreements, including the House. The Office of Scrutiny will also work to assist committees of the House with expert opinion.
There were presentations on the 2014 budget statement by some consultants on various sectors of the economy. Dr. Edward Unma of the Department of Agri-Econs and Agri-Business of the University of Ghana took the MPs through agriculture and productivity strategic interventions. He questioned the nation's priority in the agri sector when only about 1.5% of the total budget was spent on agricultural modernization this year.
Annual budget standard account of 392.94 million, 299.41 million, that is about 76.2%, was dispersed to the four priority areas. Looking at this, we can see that agriculture is taking just about 1.5%. And the question we want to ask is, where is our priority? So based on the funding with respect to agriculture, this is what we actually achieved in the year 2013. The industrial sector grew by 9.1%, the service sector also grew by 9.2%, whereas the agricultural sector grew by 3.4%.
This is Philomena Johnson of the Institute for Fiscal Policy spoke on the topic, achieving budgetary outcomes for programs in the health sector.
That report was found by our parliamentary correspondents, Dominic Logi and Augustus Akwe. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: Food and Drugs Authority denies witch hunting allegations against targeted pharmaceutical companies. Suspected murderer of Dom constituency NPP vice chairman remanded in police custody. More fallout from Deadman Debt Commission over controversial sale of GNPC drill ship as former energy minister and his deputy appear before commission. Speaker of Parliament frowns on use of placards and partisan accolades during proceedings. 25 students from Walwale Senior High School arrested for vandalism. And France agrees to send 800 more troops to conflict-torn Central African Republic.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The Vice President, Pakwesi Misasa, has challenged the youth to develop interest in reading and research into the socio-cultural life of the country's forebears. This, he noted, will enable them to know and appreciate the culture and history of the country to engender development. The Vice President was speaking at the launch of a book entitled African Culture in Governance and Development, The Ghana Paradigm. The book, which was written by the Amahine of Isikado Traditional Area and Anako Blanketia, focuses on how colonization has distorted the socio-cultural development and governance of the African continent.
The Vice President said oral history has dominated Ghanaian life to the extent that people don't have interest in writing anymore. He said if the trend continues, there will soon be no documentation of the nation's history. Mr. Emisa Arthur said if Africa is to develop, then it must do away with Western culture that dominates the indigenous ones. He said the book is an insightful and well-researched one, which will be very useful for students studying African culture.
My understanding of all these issues in this book, the core values, culture represents the core values and the beliefs. For us, therefore, African culture represents the thought processes and behavior that in its original NPO form existed prior to the European contact and probably currently exists in the rural areas of the African continent, because those areas which now currently have the least contamination with European culture. So the cultural regeneration in this book is an aspect of the post-independence nation building. But the link to governance also was very interesting for me, because the governance, in my view, represents the overall political and institutional framework for governing a people. It in effect romanticizes the traditional aspect of our life. And because we have internalized some of those cultural contamination, we are no longer the pure Africans that we were before that contamination.
The president of the National House of Chiefs, now Professor John Mabila, said the book will enhance the Ghanaian traditional setting and also enrich the chieftaincy institution. He said colonization negatively affected Ghana's traditions, but he hoped that with the introduction of this book, some of these traditions that were tampered with by the colonial masters will be revived.
The institution of chieftaincy is really going to be enriched by this book. It takes us back to the antecedents and beginnings of the colonial period and the beginnings of the tampering with the institution of chieftaincy by the colonial institution. Because when they came here, we had our own system of chieftaincy. We had our own democracy. And yet, we had to do probably a 360 degrees turn to take what they thought was best for us. In Nana Kinketia's book, he has examined all those, and we need to look at it and re-examine ourselves.
The book offers a cultural, socio-political, and historical analysis of the African continent before, during, and after Western interferences. It uses the Akan culture as a base to reach primarily into Ghana and Africa and calls for a mass African consciousness movement, which will form the cultural basis for the needed shift from the prevailing paradigm across the African continent.
That was Rita Nyakon's report. 25 students from the Walwale Senior High School in the Northern Region have been arrested for vandalizing property belonging to the police and burning the headmaster's bungalow. More than 100 students from the school on Sunday chased the headmaster out of campus for what they say were bad administration processes. The public relations officer of the Walwale Police Command, ASP Ebenezer Tete, in an interview with Radio Ghana, said security has been beefed up while those arrested will be screened and arraigned before court if necessary. Meanwhile, ASP Tete said the headmaster is in hiding. He spoke to Doreen Ampofu.
The students actually were demonstrating against the headmaster of the school. Our information was that it has to do with admission procedures. So yesterday, the students actually switched off all lights in the school. So the place was very dark. The police were called in. That's when we got there. They had blocked both exit and entrance to the school. They tried all that they could, but they could not enter. So this morning, a team of investigators went back and they went there with some two other police officers who, when the students saw, they started pelting them with stones, and the process, the two policemen, both lungs coppers, sustained injuries. So the policemen succeeded in arresting two of the students and they brought them to the police station. But the students, normally about 100, marched the police station and they ransacked and vandalized a police vehicle that was parked to them, another private vehicle belonging to a police officer. Police reinforcements from Tamale and Boga have been deployed to the area, and as of now, 25 students, both male and female, have been arrested. After their illegal action at the police station, they went back to the school and they set fire to the headmaster's bungalow and vandalized and ransacked the ICT lab. And our information was that some of the students stole some of the computers in the lab. So some were also part of a group of students who were planning further attacks this evening. And two of them have been arrested and some have, you know, escaped. So we have mounted checkpoints at both the exit and entry points to Walwale. And the policemen are there on the ground. The situation, as we speak, is very calm.
Public Relations Officer of the Walwale Police Command, ASP Ebenezer Tete. On the foreign front, France has agreed to send 800 extra troops to the Central African Republic. Prime Minister Nicolas Tiangay said the deployment to the conflict-torn nation will take place after a vote in the UN Security Council expected next week. The Central African Republic has been in a state of chaos since rebels seized power in March. Mr. Tiangay said the extra troops will help patrol the key road from Bangui to the Cameroonian border and also northwestern parts of the country. UN Deputy Secretary General Ian Eliasson has called for the Security Council to act quickly, saying the country is descending into complete chaos. Police in China have arrested 9 people in relation to explosions that killed 55 people. The blast in the eastern city of Qingdao took place after a leaking oil pipeline owned by oil refiner Sinopec caught fire. 7 of those arrested were Sinopec employees, while 2 came from the city's economic and technological development zone. The explosions injured at least 160 people, with 9 people still missing. Now to end the news, the main points again. The head of post-surveillance unit of the Foods and Drugs Authority, Saka Collins, has denied allegations that it is witch-hunting Tobinko Pharmaceuticals so as to give their competitors undue advantage. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Isaka Collins said the FDA is doing nothing untoward, but rather adhering to the laws in order not to endanger the lives of Ghanaians. A man suspected to have murdered the NPP vice chairman for Dom constituency in 2009, Patrick Opokuba, has been remanded into custody. The Speaker of Parliament, Edward Doajau, has frowned on the display of placards in Parliament. Mr. Doajau said this in a speech read for him by the first Deputy Speaker, Ebo Barton Odru, at the second day of the post-budget workshop for members of Parliament. He entreated members to desist from the practice. And France has agreed to send 800 extra troops to the Central African Republic to help the worsening situation there. UN Deputy Secretary General Ian Eliasson has called for the Security Council to act quickly to end the chaos. The news was presented by Samuel Essa in Accra.